Okay, the music has stopped, so let's resume our study. I hate to break up social hour. We're in the midst of studying 1 Corinthians 9, and 1 Corinthians 9 deals with personal witnessing and telling others about Jesus Christ, which is so needed in today's world. So let's begin with the word of prayer. Oh, thank you. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Thank you. My wife doesn't get this, so I appreciate you doing that. And not permanently. There you go. Okay, we're in the midst of studying personal witnessing for Christ, evangelism on a mass scale, but there's also the concept of personal evangelism. So let's begin with the word of prayer and take our next point as we develop some principles in dealing with it. Last week we studied some pitfalls or warnings against our personal witnessing, and this morning we continue in our study. Let's pray. Father, you have commissioned us all to go out into the world to tell others of Jesus Christ. We're not here to change the world. We're not here to make the world a better place. We're not here to bring in a perfect environment. We're not here to bring in the millennium. Our message is simple: the peace of Jesus Christ, to believe on Him. So, Father, we pray that your Spirit will lead us this morning as we continue in our study. Pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. One of the biggest problems in personal witnessing, and I mean across the world and for all the ages, one of the biggest problems in witnessing is most people do not correctly understand the gospel. That's the biggest problem. They may witness, but it's what their church believes. It's the legalism of their church. It's that you have to do this, you have to do that. And so, really, there are a few people that really understand, and I'm very serious, the true gospel. Even what we might consider wonderful Christians, how are you saved? They don't have it. It's very simple, but they do not have it. They do not know what the gospel is and what the gospel is not. So let's start off this morning with a very important point about the gospel. Just looking at the gospel. The gospel is not about sin. The gospel is not about sin. Sin, and that the person you're talking with is a sinner, is bad news. Bad news. It is true that they are sinners and in need of a Savior, but that's bad news. All have sinned and fall not just short, but way behind on the glory of God. We're all sinners, and that's bad news. But the gospel is good news. Euangelion means good news. So emphasizing the person and sins is the wrong emphasis in witnessing. Sin, and we're all sinners, it's true. But the gospel is good news, not bad news. The Greek word for gospel, euangelion, means just that, good news. Every time we have that word in the Bible, you could just, if you want to be literal, good news. Now, when you witness, you're giving good news. That's the beauty of this thing. You're giving good news, and that's why you should witness with enthusiasm. You've got something great to tell them, not something bad. You're a sinner, you're going to hell, you bum. That's bad news. You've got great news, so we ought to witness with enthusiasm, motivation. It's such good news. Not ashamed of the gospel. Not ashamed to witness. So you witness with confidence and enthusiasm. Before you start telling someone the great news in history, know it for sure. Now, one of the things today, right now today, Christianity is getting a bad rap. But it's getting a bad rap because it's falsely proclaimed. And that's why the world doesn't like it. Christianity is hatred today. As far as the secular world is concerned, we teach hate. Everybody's going to hell. And everybody's doing this, everybody's doing that. And so one reason that Christianity is seen as being so negative. The world is going to be destroyed. People are going people today are so immoral. And homosexuality is immoral. And on and on and on. And everybody's going to hell. And that's what the world understands as Christianity. These are the things that they hear the loudest and the most. But our message is very simple. It should be good news. It would really be wonderful if every time a newspaper reporter or anybody was to hear, talk to a Christian, they just heard the good news of the gospel. That would be so phenomenal. There'd be no bad raps about Christianity. But the things that they hear are all these bad things. They should be hearing loudly and clearly about Christ came and died for everyone. And this is the good news. And but all they hear about is eternal lake of fire and the end is near and all these kind of things. And that's a shame. That's a family issue. That stays in the classroom, the church. As far as the world is concerned, they ought to be hearing the good news about Jesus Christ. So we can have the great expectation of eternity with Christ. Eternity in a lake of fire, eternity with Christ. And that's our good news. And again, it would just be so wonderful if every time a reporter talked to a Christian, that Christian emphasized not abortion, not homosexuality, not immorality, but Christ and Him crucified. It would be wonderful. That would really be absolutely superb. And but what they hear is a lot of the bad news, a lot of the stuff that they hate, and therefore don't want to hear the gospel. Now, when you emphasize the person's sins, you're witnessing to someone, and you emphasize his sins or sins in general, you're making sin the issue. That's what you're making the issue. That's what they hear. That's what they formalize in their brain. And no matter what else you might say, if that's in their brain, and they, okay, if I don't sin, I'll go to heaven. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's not what you're saying, hopefully, but that's what they're going to hear if you just emphasize the sin. So we want to emphasize the good news. And so you emphasize the sins, mention two or three sins that really shock you. That's one thing about people and sins. You can line up 10 different people and ask them to talk about sins, and when they get to it, it's the three or four big ones that offend them, that really offend them. Sexual immorality. Oh, it's disgusting. This and that, and on and on and on. The sins that offend you. And therefore, you're on the whole wrong issue. You made you the issue. You made sin the issue. And then you give them the idea, if they will change their habits and get into the straight and narrow, they'll go to heaven. And people, that's false. That kind of teaching where you emphasize sins gives the idea, implies, that if you stop those horrible sins, you'll be saved and go to heaven. That's wrong. but you imply it by your teaching because you emphasize sin. And so you got to be very careful when you talk to people. We want them in heaven. You don't want to scare the hell out of them. You want them in heaven. So this is what the whole issue becomes. Now, right from the beginning, remember this. In witnessing, put the emphasis where it belongs. And the emphasis in witnessing belongs to Jesus Christ. That's where the emphasis... It doesn't even belong to you. You're not the emphasis. They are not the emphasis. Sin is not the emphasis. Jesus Christ is the emphasis when we witness to people. So it's the gospel. That's the issue. The good news that you have to proclaim them, that's the good news. Sins are not the issue in the gospel, people. Sins are banished to being an issue. Why? Because Christ's work on the cross, what we're studying on Wednesday night. It's no longer an issue. Don't make it an issue in the gospel. Drinking, carousing, homosexuality, abortions, all this thing. These are not the issues. And if he does stop, he will be saved. That's false. False gospel. That's the gospel of works, not the gospel of grace. Giving up something in life absolutely does not give salvation to that person. Does not do it. This type of salvation comes from a false understanding of God. See, God is perfect. And a perfect God has a perfect plan. And a perfect plan is where he does all the work, and all man has to do is to believe in him. Stay with your emphasis of God. You're telling them about a perfect God and a perfect plan. Don't talk about sin. Talk about the perfect plan of God. That's what you want to talk about. If we had time, I thought about doing it. We'd read Galatians chapter 2, which deals with the perfect plan of salvation from God. If man can do anything other than faith in the gospel, then it is no longer a perfect plan. A perfect plan says, I, God, do everything. The minute you put man in there, boom, you mess it up. It's like God, it's like putting the government in there. Put the government in there and it's all messed up. Put man in there, it's all messed up. Man wants to tweak it. Man wants to do this. Man wants to do that. Galatians chapter 1, we distort the gospel. Just tweak it. I'm not changing the gospel, I'm tweaking it. Make it just a little bit better, better clear. No, you've just ruined it. You've made it works, gospel of works. So, the true gospel comes from a perfect God. Perfect God can only produce a perfect plan. A perfect plan does not depend on man for anything. Man is desperately wicked, evil. So you don't want to have him being in any part of the equation. All he can do is receive it by faith. So if man can do anything to for the gospel, for salvation, it's no longer a perfect plan. All God can do is accept a perfect plan. And what is that? Faith in Jesus Christ. It's that simple. It's that simple. Faith in Jesus Christ. And that's grace. The moment you add anything other than just faith, you've taken away grace. You just chunked grace. And you want to teach them grace. I've got somewhere in my notes, but I just seem compelled to tell you now. If you give the proper gospel, not only are you telling them how to be saved, but you're setting the course on how to live a Christian life, truthfully. So you're doing a lot. If you will present the gospel clearly, if they clearly understand that all I did was faith, and then when they become a Christian, somebody says, well, you got to do this now that you're a Christian. Well, wait a minute now. God saved me when I was a sinner just by my believing, and now you're telling me I have to do something? No, can't be. It's got to be on the same pattern by which I am saved. So if it's grace, no works. If there are works, it's no longer grace. So if you make the gospel clear, that person will also be learning about living the Christian way of life. And the emphasis is not sin. The emphasis is not you. The emphasis is not the person you're talking with. The emphasis is Jesus Christ, the one you're witnessing about. That's what the emphasis is. Don't make him the emphasis. Don't make yourself the emphasis. Don't make sin the emphasis. Make Christ the emphasis. So in witnessing, the emphasis is on Jesus Christ and what he did. It's that simple. And what he did. Not on what we do. Nothing but accepted by faith. And so this is what we need to witness to. Now, in the Gospel of John, we won't turn to it, but in the Gospel of John, God the Holy Spirit does not convict of personal sins. Think about that. You want to make sins the issue. The Holy Spirit doesn't convict of personal sins. What does John say? The Holy Spirit convicts of sin. Not sins, sin. So, and that they refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. So you have to make sure that what you give them, the Holy Spirit can use to convict them. That's what you want to do. You want to give them the information whereby the Holy Spirit can take what you're giving them and start working on that person's soul right there. And if you talk about sin, nothing. You talk about changing their life, nothing. You talk about yourself, nothing. You talk about them, nothing. But you talk about Jesus Christ. Now the Holy Spirit can go in and convict. So, he does not talk about sins. He talks about the sin of rejection. Another issue. The Holy Spirit talks about perfect righteousness and relative righteousness. And how man must have perfect righteousness. And the only way to have perfect righteousness is by faith in Jesus Christ. If you have to talk about negative, this is where the negative would come in. To have fellowship with God, you got to be perfectly righteous. You're not perfectly righteous, no one is. Even our righteousness is filthy rags before him. But you know what? Taken care of on the cross. All you have to do is to believe in Christ, and you are imputed with perfect righteousness. The Holy Spirit can convict on that. Give them information that the Holy Spirit can use to convict. The only way of gaining righteousness is by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, now, the third issue in witnessing in the ministry of the Holy Spirit is judgment. Let's look at John. Let's be sure we're on the same track. John 16. John 16. Remember, Christ is getting ready. This is after the upper room and before the Garden of Gethsemane. He's getting ready to leave. So everything he's teaching them here is very important information. And verse 5, but now I am going to him, the Father, who sent me, and none of you ask, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. It's to their advantage if Jesus Christ leaves. For if I do not go away, I don't like the word helper, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, shall come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, Holy Spirit, when he comes, will convict the world, unbelievers, concerning sin, singular, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. That's the only thing you need to talk about. Have you ever believed in Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's it. Not have you ever sinned. Let's talk about your sins. This time, no. Have you ever believed in Christ? No. Okay then. That's where we need to start. So, concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you no longer behold me. Now the righteousness here is their righteousness. If you stay consistent with this section of Scripture, everything is on the unbeliever. Sin, he does not believe. Righteousness, he is not righteous. He needs to be righteous before God. And, verse 11, the third, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. So, and we'll get back to that when we, on our Wednesday night, the 3 hours of darkness. What happened in the 3 hours of darkness? Satan was judged. Okay, so, but what I want you to see here is, if you got to deal with the negative, these are the things you want to give the unbeliever. Think about it. You want to give them things that the Holy Spirit can use. You're not, it is not your job to convict them. It is not your job to argue them into heaven. It's your job to give them information that the Holy Spirit can use to convict. Sin, not rejecting of Christ. Righteousness, not having the perfect righteousness that God is looking for. And third, judgment. And how the believer in Christ with imputed righteousness will escape the eternal judgment of God. And people, that's good news. All this is good news. You can escape the eternal judgment if you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. That's great news. Paul said in Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of it. Be proud of it. It's powerful. It's positive. It's the only thing that the unbeliever really needs. Doesn't need all your other knowledge of doctrine. Share that, your boasting of that with other believers. Don't do it with an unbeliever. All the unbeliever needs to know is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So, as a believer in Christ, you have the only really good news that can exist in the world. Therefore, you can be enthusiastic. You don't have to be apologetic or kind of shamefully give it to them. No, you got some really, really good news for them. Now, Jesus Christ on the cross, for them that's good news. Now, for Christ it wasn't good news. But for him, for the unbeliever, good news. That's the good news, that he died for them. That God the Father and Jesus Christ loves them. That's good news. That is good news. He loves them unconditionally. He knows their sins and their lives, but it doesn't matter what they've done. Jesus Christ and God the Father love them and has provided a simple way of salvation, and that is through the cross. So, this is the good news that we have to give them. It's amazing today, church, work, social. People don't think anything about it, talking about things that they really enjoy. Like right now, it's soccer season. I didn't grow up with soccer, and I don't really understand the game. And I don't mind admitting that. I never played it. And I have a granddaughter that's supposed to be pretty doggone good and in it. But people talk about it. And in my day, I talked about football. Well, did you see the game yesterday? Man, it was a great game. Did you see this? Did you see that? On and on and on. We don't mind talking about those things. But the gospel, if I'm forced to, I might. But we've got the greatest news in the world. It's better news than if the team that they're for wins a Super Bowl. And the World Cup, whatever the case might be. So this becomes the great issue that we have. And we got something far more exciting, something far more important to be enthusiastic about than a football game or a vacation. Oh, let me tell you all about my vacation. Let me tell you about this. Let me tell you about that. We did this. We did that. Excited. Enthusiastic. You really enjoyed it. People, we should have the same enthusiasm, in fact, more enthusiasm about the gospel. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died on the cross, taking away all your sins. Sins are no longer an issue. I don't care what you've done. He doesn't care what you've done. Oh, that isn't what I hear. Well, you've been hearing the lie. I'm here to tell you the truth. Christ is taking care of the sin problem. That's not a problem. The only thing you have to do is to believe in Jesus Christ and be excited about it. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. This should be on the heart of every born-again believer. Now, I know most of you know verse 16, but let's read 15 and 16. So let's read 15. Romans chapter 1, and let's begin at verse 15. Thus, for my part, I am eager to proclaim the gospel to you also who are in Rome. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why not? It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, and that means you. That means you, you horrible sinner, you decadent Roman, all these kind of things. This is for you. Power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and then to you lousy Romans. See? This is the whole point. I'm not ashamed of this. This is great news. Why are we ashamed to boast the gospel and make that the great issue, and when we're talking to anyone about their salvation, about where they are in life? So most believers don't even know what they really have in the gospel, and that's a shame. Don't know what they really have. I don't know if it's true or not, but yesterday the Dallas Morning News, they had some authority coming in, and he says, you people in Dallas don't know what you have here in Dallas. Y'all speak almost reluctantly about Dallas. Dallas is rich in this and that and went through all these things. And this is the way a lot of Christians are with the gospel. They just sort of shamefully talk about it. Well, yeah, you can believe in Christ and da-da-da-da. And that's a shame. People, we have good news for the unbeliever. I know a lot of Christians, they don't want to talk to a person about their problems. I'm not a psychologist, therapist, and all this kind of stuff. You have the news they need. That's the point. You have better news than psychiatrist, psychologist, or therapist. And what they need to do is know about Christ. And you got that. Don't be ashamed. Give it boastfully, proudly, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so just do not be ashamed. And it's the most fantastic news in the world, that all someone has to do is believe in Christ as Savior, and they're saved forever. People, that's great news. There's not any news better than that. Nothing better than that for the unbeliever. I can live eternal life simply by believing in Jesus Christ. That's good news, and that's great news. And that's news that they can grab hold of. And so don't witness shamefully. Witness boastfully. Now, let's go back to a passage that we studied, I think it was 2 weeks ago. Let's look at 2 Corinthians a moment. 2 Corinthians 5. Second Corinthians 5, and now, when you do have to deal with some bad news, like I just said, all sins, the fact that you're a sinner, that's taken care of, and in just a matter of seconds, you've given the bad news, but then you went straight to the good news. Christ took care of the sins on the cross. So when you have to emphasize the bad news, this is a good way to do it. Look at verse 14. 1 Corinthians 5, now we've already studied 13, and let's see, 2 Corinthians 5, 14, okay. For the love of Christ controls us. There's good news. What's the love of Christ? That He died on a cross for us. Controls us, believers. Having concluded this, before it controlled you, you've come to a conclusion that one died for all, and therefore all died. So, if you have to deal with some bad news, let that be the bad news. Therefore, all died. Imputation of Adam's sin and the condemnation of spiritual death. The good news is, people, you got to be careful with this one, but the reason we sin is that we're sinners. You don't sin because you're a bad guy. You're a bad guy, and that's why you sin. You're already bad. Don't let your sins get you down. They just reveal who and what you are. The good news, Christ died for you. All right? So, look carefully to verse 15. All right, quickly goes into the good news. And he died for all. Here's the good news. He took the place of every member of the human race on the cross. That's what we're studying on Wednesday night, the 3 hours of darkness. Taking the place of everyone on the cross. He took the place on the cross of every human being. Now, sins are no longer the issue. Don't need to talk about them. I don't care what you've done or anything. I don't care if it was done to you when you were little, whatever. In today's rotten world, it's so difficult. You can't hardly use the word father in a wonderful way today because fathers are so decadent today. And not all of them, but many of them. But you just have to be careful in that. But this is good news. Christ died for everyone. And he took your place on the cross. And now sins are not the issue. Do you understand what I'm saying? Who and what you are, who and what you've done, what's been done to you, all these things, they're not the issue. They have nothing to do with where you're going to spend eternity. Most Christians make it sound like they imply, even if they're not saying it directly, and a lot of them are saying it directly, they imply that they're going to hell because they sinned. They're going to be in a lake of fire because they've done all these bad things in their life. That's wrong. That is wrong. You're giving them the wrong idea. And then they get the idea, well, if I work at not sinning, I can be saved. But you know what? I know I can't. So I guess I'm just going to have to go to hell. Some people are that, or, you know, I don't want to call it honest or just belligerent, but I can't give this up. I can't be good. I know it. So if I've got to be good to go to heaven, I'm just going to have to forget it because I'm not good enough and I never will be good enough. Bingo, you're right. You're right. Here's the good news. You don't have to be good enough. Christ is good enough. Believe on him. So the only issue is Jesus Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. Why? He's the one that came and took their place on the cross. He is the only one sent by God the Father. Okay, now, note what follows. That they who live, verse 15, and he died for all, that they who live. That's good news. This is a reference to you. The good news is you. You are the good news here. Christ died for you. Okay? So, let me see here from... good news is that he died for you. You do not live for yourself. I know I've referred to this, but I want to refer to it again and again because I don't know when we'll be this way again. Look at Acts 1:8. Look at Acts 1:8. You don't usually go to Acts for solid doctrine. One thing Dr. Pentecost put into our heads at seminary, it's about Acts, things that happened. It is not a book for doctrine, but there are some wonderful doctrines in it. And look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive, let's just start, he said to them, Jesus Christ said to them, it is not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. Now this is going to deal with the rapture, the tribulation, the second coming of Christ, and the millennium. You don't need to be concerned with all of that right now. It's not the issue. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit who has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, to the Jews first, and even to the remotest parts of the earth, Gentiles. But people were here to be his witness. That's one of the primary reasons you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have him to learn doctrine. We have him to live the Christian life. But we have the Holy Spirit to be a witness of Christ. Don't ever fear. I don't know what to say. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Very few, and there are some, but very few men will not just come up with something when they want to talk to some girl, some woman, stranger, on a plane, somewhere, work, whatever it may be. They'll come up with something. And my favorite cartoon is Charlie Brown. The little redheaded girl. I don't know if you know about her. But anyway, he walked up to her and he hit her. And Linus says, "Well, why did you hit her?" "I didn't know what else to do." "I didn't know what to say or what. So I hit her." And but most guys have no problem. People, you will have no problem. God the Holy Spirit will give you the words to witness. You have the desire, the filling, and the leading of the Holy Spirit, and you will witness to that person on a plane, at school, a friend, a family member. Doesn't matter. You will even surprise yourself. I've surprised myself. And I've talked to Christians who have really surprised themselves on how they talk to their parents, talk to their relatives about Jesus Christ. "Man, I can't believe I did that. That's not me." When you're filled with the Spirit, led of the Spirit, He'll put the words there. You don't need to worry about it at all. You're not giving a speech to the Ladies Missionary Society. You're talking to an unbeliever about Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit will give you the words. Say, you want to know where that came from? Well, Linus had to do a part in a Christmas play, and Charlie Brown, he was really scared. Charlie Brown said, "You don't have to worry about it. The Lord gave you the strength, and the Lord will teach you how to speak to him." He said, "The Lord never spoke to the school's board and who was going to come to this play." So, people, it doesn't matter. Give them the gospel. They need the gospel. And if they're already believers, wow, bingo. Now you're ready to talk about the filling of the Holy Spirit, how you feel with the Holy Spirit, living the Christian life, and then you can give them the outline of history. I can't wait till Daniel. I've been in the ministry 40 years. I have never heard, never been taught, all that God did to set up the fullness of time for the birth of His Son. And I've been under some very good Bible teachers. Never had a study. He had to do this. Remember in the beginning of Daniel, how we spent the first 2 hours studying all the dates dating back to 760 Jonah. All that God had to do to get Daniel to Babylon. We didn't just jump to it. We went through all the history that he went through. Well, this morning we're going to go through the history of what God had to do to get Jesus Christ born into the human race. All the things that he did in history to set it up for the fullness of time. That's what we're going to be studying the next hour. But right now, we want to tell others of Jesus Christ. Okay, so Acts 1:8. And Acts 1:8, "But you shall receive power." Power. "When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall be my witnesses." And that's the power to be a witness of Jesus Christ. Okay, now, you are witnesses for Christ. You are not here, by the way, you're not here to be a witness of yourself. "Well, let me tell you all about me." It doesn't hurt sometimes to give a little thing, but it's not about you. It's not about them. It's about Jesus Christ. You're living here on earth. This may surprise some of you. You're not even here for your own enjoyment. You're not here for your home, your car, your clothes, your job, your vacations, your fun. You're not here for that. You are here to be a witness of Christ. Why am I left here on earth after I believed in Christ as Savior? Why doesn't God just zap home everyone who believes in Christ when the moment they believe in Christ? We're here as witnesses. We are here as witnesses. And the previous generation tells the next one, "My mother witnessed to me." Then it just goes down the line. That's why we're here. We're left here on earth to be witnesses for and of Jesus Christ. So you're not here for your enjoyment. You're here to reflect the glory of Christ. Therefore, you're here to learn the Word of God. You find a church, a pastor who studies and teaches the Word of God clearly. You go there consistently, continually, and you are filled with the Holy Spirit and have this knowledge inside of you. You will fully reflect that doctrine. And see, people, one thing about studying the Word of God, it gives you capacity. The more you study the Word of God, you develop capacity. And part of that capacity is the capacity to tell others of Jesus Christ. Yes? I do not want to witness. Why? I don't want to what? Hurt anyone. You're giving them good news. If somebody's offended because you gave them good news, I will never apologize for that. I will not apologize for giving good news. This is the greatest news in the world. Yes? Yeah. Yeah, it's how you present it. And that's why you want the Holy Spirit. That's why I started off this morning with the opening statement. Not here to talk about sin. We're here to give them good news. Be enthusiastic about it. Oh, greatest thing in the world. Hey, you don't have to be hurt. You don't have to worry about it. Just believe in Christ, you have eternal life. What's bad about that? Now, that doesn't mean they're going to believe. Because not everyone's going to believe the gospel. Not everyone's going to believe you. But we can do it with enthusiasm and without shame that we have the truth about eternity. And to those who take it, it's great. Yes? That person needs the gospel most of all. Yeah. Yeah. No. Yep. And that's why you don't have a set speech like we studied last week. You have a cookie cutter type of presentation. You're flexible in the Holy Spirit, the dynamic. And that's why it's so important to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you just be filled with the Spirit and let Him guide you in your words. You don't have to know what to say. He'll tell you what to say. Have a burden in your heart for their eternal existence. He'll give you the words. Yeah. Well, here's what we mean by that. Let's say I'm not filled with the Spirit. Okay? Well, if I'm not filled with the Spirit, I'm going to try to argue them. I don't argue them. Yes. Okay, here's the good news about that. Let's say that I'm witnessing to this person and it offends them or it doesn't come across right, but it lays that seed. And then somebody comes along that communicates to them the way they will grasp it, because we're all different communicators, and they say, wait a minute, you know what, that's what that guy was trying to say on the plane, and now, hey, I believe in Christ. Yeah. No, that's it. Just let the Holy Spirit guide you. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. And you know, you let the Holy Spirit guide you and you walk away and you go, man, just other things I could have said, should have said, would have said and all that. You said what needed to be said at that point. And the Holy Spirit will use that. And it may be the next person that they will come to believe in Christ, but you set the seed. You are the one that got them in that first journey step. And yeah. Yeah. Well, your personality and your knowledge level. Some people have so much, and they try to give too much. Just get simple. That's all you, just a very simple point. All they got to do is believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and to save forever. And don't start clouding them with a lot of other stuff. I don't think very many people are going to be offended that you cared enough to give them the gospel. Now, they may not believe it, and there'll probably be some offended. If you try to give it to a Muslim, he might be offended. But most people will not be offended. Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Okay, anybody else? Anything? Okay. Witnessing is a lot of fun, people. Witnessing to all kinds of people. Old people, young people, male, female. It's just a lot of fun. To hear the different responses of people and see where they are. And sometimes, I'm a Christian. Okay, if you died, why would God let you into heaven? Because I go to church and I'm a good person. Whoa! Ding, 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 ding. Is that in the Bible? Is that the gospel? And then you start talking with them, interact with them. Calls them to, and that, what I just said, comes off a personal experience from being in the gym. I used to go to the gym. I witnessed a lot. Not even really by wanting to. I wanted to get my routine done and get home. But people inevitably would come up and talk. And they would say, you know, we'd start talking, well, I'm a Christian. I'd say, if you died, why should God let you into heaven? I don't ask them, are you a Christian? A lot of times I don't even like to ask, have you believed in Christ? If you died, why should God let you into heaven? And then I really know what they believe. They've got to say something. If they say, because I'm good, because I try to be good, because of this, because Christ died for me, and I'm a good person, and I go to church, and I'll know where they are. And that gives me good ground of knowing how to talk with them, where to go with them, and that kind of deal. So there's all kinds of ways to witness and talk to people, start the conversation, get involved with the conversation, and there's so many different ways to do all of this. And like I don't know why, I just like to use it, I guess because it fits me in 67 years of my life before I married. But a man has no problem starting a conversation with a woman. Just, it'll stutter around maybe, but it'll get to it. Kind of warm in here, isn't it? Kind of hot in here, isn't it? Would you like something to drink? Would you like something to eat? Just something that we'll come up with, because we want to talk. Well, we should have the same desire, because I want to witness for Christ and get into something. Where do you live? Da, 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 da. Ah, wow. Where do you go to church there? Church! Who goes to church? Well, they have churches there, don't they? And I pass them on the street. And so you start talking. And get involved with it. And the funniest story, I don't have time for this, but the funniest story on churches, this good buddy of mine was visiting here, and we were driving down the street, and we were at this corner, and over here is a big church building, and over here is a church's fried chicken. And I said something about the churches, and he said, they've closed them all down in Kansas City. They closed down all the... See, he's thinking the churches. I'm thinking church. What do you mean they closed them all down? They didn't close them all... Yeah, they closed down every one of them. They did not close down every church in Kansas City. And then he realized what we were doing. But it was the weirdest thing. Okay, let's get back. We got to move on. Okay. So, your witnesses for Christ. Fully enjoy life. Fully enjoy being a witness of Christ. The world today is full of bad news. I really enjoy the Hal Lindsey Report every Friday evening at 7:30, but boy, is it full of bad news. Man, he'll talk about how bad this is going on, how bad this, what's going on here, what's going on there, and in America, in the Middle East, in the with the various countries. And it is, it's full of bad news. Read the paper. So-and-so's killed, so-and-so's raped, so many people doing this, so many people doing that, that it's refreshing to have somebody have some good news. I got some good news for you. Got some really good news for you. Christ died for you. All you have to do is believe in Him, and you'll have eternal life after you die. You know you're going to die, don't you? See? And then go into the gospel. The worst... we used to call this crisis evangelism. The worse things get in America, the better opportunity it is for us to witness. The worse things get, the better it is to witness for Christ. We call crisis evangelism. People are in crisis, financial, moral, family, all these things. They need some good news. And people, we have the best news in the world. We got the news about Christ crucified, resurrected, and all they have to do is believe in Him. So the worst things get, don't shut up. The worst things get, talk more. Tell more about Jesus Christ. We are here not for ourselves. We're here to witness for Christ. That's why we're here. So verse 15 of 1 Corinthians, and He died for all. Jesus Christ did the death on the cross. But for Him who died and rose again on their behalf, and therefore, and we live in Him. Those who live, we live in Him. That's why we're alive. And do not fear death. Do not fear after death. Do not fear life. Got good news for you. Got really good news for you. And the good news is that Christ died and rose again for you. Look at Romans 4:25 as we close. Romans 4:25. You ever want to study a chapter that deals, concentrates, not everything of the gospel's there, but 1 Corinthians 15. We might just study that while we're in the study of witnessing for Christ. But look at Romans chapter 4, and let's look at verse 25. He who has delivered up because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. So Jesus Christ delivered up for judgment to judgment on the cross because of our transgressions, our sins, our failures, everything that you think you've done bad and it bothers you, He bore it on the cross. Things that you did that don't bother you, He bore on the cross. And then it says, and was raised because of our justification. And this is good news. We're going to come to the positive side of the gospel. The negative side is the taking away of sin. That's in the 3 hours of darkness on Wednesday night. The positive side, when we come to the resurrection, that's the addition of perfect righteousness. Okay, we'll resume here next Sunday morning. And I think next Sunday morning, I'm just going to lay aside what else I have planned for the doctrine and the points of personal witnessing. And let's get to 1 Corinthians 9 before we lose why we're here. So let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is a privilege, a joy to tell others of Christ. And when they respond positively, it just thrills us. There's probably no feeling like it. There's no joy like it. And to have someone respond positively when you give them the gospel. So, Father, we pray that Your Spirit will lead us this day, this week, to be aware of someone that we might be talking with that does not know Christ as their Savior and needs Him. Father, we pray You take the things we've seen this morning, have them become a reality in our souls and in our lives. To this end, Father, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.